Father, I'm anticipating something great because you've already revealed yourself in a mighty way. And in that song, you have spoke to all of our hearts, Lord, in a sincere, loving fashion. And we need to respond. And I pray now, Father, I can represent you as beautifully as Mary did. And that in spite of my shortcomings, Lord, the thoughts you've given for us today would be presented as if Jesus was speaking, so that when we leave, we'll all be changed more into your likeness. So use me in spite of me and receive the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're doing the series entitled, And Who Can Stand at His Appearing? And we've looked at part 1, 2, and 3. Part 1 was making the Master marvel. One way or another, we were surprised to find out in two instances in the New Testament, Jesus marveled. First, he marveled at the centurion's great faith, which he said his people didn't have. And then he marveled at the unbelief of his church. And so, if we're going to stand, then we must show our great faith to Jesus. Part 2, narrowing the focus. And we discovered that we must narrow from the world to Jesus if we want to stand in the last day. Part 3, we found out our time belongs to God. And from the book Christ Object Lesson is this outstanding, impacting sentence that says, of no talent he has given, will he require a more strict account than of our time. And finally, today we're looking at part four, ready or not, here I come. We're going to answer one question this morning. I want you to focus on this question as we read the parable again. And that question is, what is the lesson taught by the parable of the talents? Now, this is directly out of Christ Object Lessons. It means that there's one main point to this parable about the talents. And so we want to see what the answer is by the time we get to the very end of the sermon. I want to introduce you to Martha Berry and the man next. Of course, you can see the name is Henry Ford. Listen to this. Martha Berry, October 1865 to February 1942. The founding of the Berry Schools was inspired by Berry's desire to help the children of poor landowners and tenant farmers in Georgia who did not have access to quality education. As a consequence of this desire, Martha Berry never married, and she devoted her life to developing schools that would eventually turn in to Berry College. Martha Berry was a lady with vision to help children. She began a school for the poor children. She had no books, she had no building, she had no money. But she had a dream. And she went to Henry Ford and she asked for a donation. Mr. Ford reached into his pocket and gave Martha Berry a dime. Most people would have been insulted. Here he is, a multi-millionaire, and all he could give was a dime. But Martha took that dime and bought a pack of seeds and planted a garden. She raised a crop, she sold it, and bought more seeds. And after 3 or 4 harvests, she had enough money to purchase an old building for the children. She returned to Mr. Ford and said, "Look what your dime has done." And Henry Ford was so impressed, he donated $1 million to Berry School. This is faithful stewardship. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the parable of the talents, Mark, Matthew 25, and we're going to start at verse 14. Children, do you have your Bibles? Oh, I heard a no. That little girl needs to see me after church and I will give you a Bible. Open the Bibles. We're going to read this beautiful parable. Three simple points to answer one question. And here's what it says. Everybody ready? Okay, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug a hole in the ground and hid the Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents because of them, besides them. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance. But on him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Now I want to show you point number 1, very simple. Did you ever stop to think? He turned over his goods. Would you turn over your goods to a stranger or someone? I want to tell you what happened to me. When I was a church school teacher in Duluth, Minnesota, my favorite pastime was fishing. Fishing trout in little streams in the woods. And I bought a van. In fact, for those of you who are car buffs, it was an Econoline 150 cargo Ford van, which is not a luxury item, okay? And I built a bed in the back of it. And when the sun went down on Sabbath, I'd drive into the woods and I'd park that van. And before the sun even came out, I was on the stream. And I'll never forget, I knelt in that van when I bought it, and I was a brand new Seventh-day Adventist Christian, and I said, Lord, this van is yours. Whatever you want, you just tell me. And then I went to camp meeting in Wisconsin. And while I was there, a pastor came up to me and said, Peter, I hear you bought a new van. And I said, yes, I did. Even has a bed in it. And he said, well, Peter, I'm taking a group of youth to the Boundary Waters, canoeing and camping. And I'd like to know if I could borrow your van. And my very first thought was, you're not getting your hands on my van. I am so ashamed to tell you this truth. And the Lord spoke to me. I'm still looking at Him and I'm hoping He didn't notice anything. Although my wife says you can read me like a book. And I heard His voice said, ah, Peter, I thought you said this was my van. And I went, yeah, you can take my van. And by the way, he did get in an accident with it. That wasn't the end of the world. Folks, he turned over his goods. He has given us his goods. And his goods are the best goods that exist in the world. Well, I want you to notice another simple point, and that is everybody has received at least one of his goods. Everybody. Nobody's left out. Everybody is included. And by the way, I'm not going into the finer details. I'm not doing this parable justice, but the Lord led my thinking this way, so I'm going to stay with it. But notice that it says according to who they are. God takes into consideration exactly who you are. And so He has given each one of us talents. So I thought, Lord, what do I do with this sermon? And He said, Peter, tell them what the talents are. I went, great idea, Lord. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, where we'll find the list of the talents. So take your Bibles again, turn to 1 Corinthians, turn to the 12th chapter, and let's see what Paul listed as the talents that we have received from God, in which He's hoping we will use for His kingdom. Okay, do you have 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Look at verse 8. Here we go. It says, well, I'll read verse 7. It's okay. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. 8. For one, He's given the word of wisdom. For one, through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the work of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. And there they are. The word of wisdom. The word of knowledge. The word of faith. Folks, somebody in here has the word of wisdom. At least one person. Somebody. Somebody has the word of knowledge. Now you're scratching your head, and so am I. But you read your Bible and you read Paul, and the Lord will make it clear to you what is meant by that. But He gave it to you to use for the building up of the church to reach the people. These are the talents. And don't be afraid. Because somebody here may have the gift of healing, you didn't even know it. If you do, you should know it. Because that means that you should be part of prayers when anybody is ever sick. You should be part of those prayers, if not leading out. I love it because I realized it takes all of us, folks. You know what that also means? That if one of you holds out, then we are weakened. I asked my good friend, Joe, why are you on crutches? I stubbed my toe. I thought, Joe, that's a toe. Give me a break. It's not your brain. It isn't your heart. It isn't your arms. It isn't your legs. It's your toe. Why are you in crutches? Those of you who have stubbed your toe or broke your leg or whatever, you know the answer to that question, don't you? It affects the whole part of your body. And so every single gift is important. Now, for those of you who study deep and never come across somebody who believes in the gifts of tongue, I want you to especially notice the last verse that I didn't read in 1 Corinthians 12. In fact, that verse is 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He decides. Okay? The Spirit decides who gets what. So if anybody tells you, if you don't have this particular gift, you don't have the Holy Spirit, they don't know how to read their Bible. Okay? Remember that. Keep that in your mind. But let's take a look at this. Let's look at verse 27 and 30. Notice what it says. Same chapter, but now we'll go to verse 27. And it says, now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First, what? Apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then, gifts of healing. Then, helps. Then, administration. And variety of tongues. There it is. So notice additional gifts are mentioned, and a couple are repeated from earlier in the same chapter that God has given to some of you here, that if you're not using them for the church, we're hurting. We're on crutches. But we're not done yet. Let's look at Ephesians. For it turns out that Ephesians also has a list. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And there, this is the high class list, folks. Well, no, you'll think I said that because pastors are in there. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then we have to look at Romans 12. And when we look at Romans 12, we've got prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, hospitality. Look at that list. Deacon and deaconesses, where do you fall under there? I don't think anybody said it yet, but I can't hear anyway, so it doesn't matter. Ministry, the word in the Greek is deaconos, where we get our name deacon and deaconess. Some of you have been appointed to be deacons, and some of you have been appointed by God to be deaconesses, and you could be sitting in the congregation doing nothing. And if that's the case, we are weakened. So we got prophecy, we got deacons, deaconesses, we got teaching, and we have teachers as well as people who aren't teachers who teach. They have the gift. Exhortation means they have a word to share with us in the time of need. We have those who are giving. I've always said this, and I'll always say it. I want the richest people in the church, in my church, as long as they love Jesus. If they don't, do not come to my church. Go to somebody else's. But if you got the gift of giving, you got a blessed gift from God. Leadership. Do you realize one of the problems we're having in our church today is the lack of really strong leadership? And that's a gift that He gives. And by the way, I put hospitality because I think that's so important, and it's really not in Romans 12, 6 through 8, but it's mentioned a little bit later, and it is so important. The social aspect of our family membership here is really valuable. Now, let me say this, and I'm almost done, by the way. Let me say this to you. If you want to know what your gift is, because you honestly say, Pastor, I don't have a gift. First of all, I know that isn't true, but I believe you don't know that. I'll tell you what you do. Well, first of all, you take these scriptures and you pray over them and read them. But then you go to your very best friend, who's a spiritual person that you trust and love, and you say, what is my gift? And you know what they'll tell you? They'll tell you what your gift is. They'll startle you. They knew it all along and you didn't even know it. That actually happened to me personally, and I was shocked. In fact, I might as well tell the story because it's an interesting one. When I was at Great Lakes Adventist Academy, one of the things I got involved with that was one of the most exciting part of my ministry in all these wonderful years, and that was training young people to give Bible studies and lead small groups. And so therefore, every time there was a North American division meeting, Ruthie Jacobson, who is the prayer coordinator for the entire division, who will be in this pulpit next Sabbath preaching, she would say, Peter, I want you to, we're going to go to San Diego, and it's the ministry convention for the North American division, and I want you to bring two teenagers with you to lead small group Bible study. Okay, Ruthie. So we all met there, and there was about six, seven teenagers from four different pastors, including myself. And do you know these teenagers sat down and in their group would be a conference president, the treasurer maybe, the youth director, and they're leading them in a group Bible study. And it's incredible what these kids would do. And so we were all done, and it was on a Saturday night, and we all breathed a sigh of relief. The kids, because people came up and says, man, your kids are incredible. We got insights out of that text. I've been reading it for years. I preached on it, and I never saw the stuff that we... And we were talking, and they said, Pastor Neary, you're melancholy. I said, no, I'm not. No, we know you're sanguine, Pastor Neary, but you're melancholy too. We see the moodiness in you. I had no clue. By the way, that's not a talent. But it's an example how they picked up on something I never heard before or saw before. And so, folks, ask your best friend. And so, ready or not, here I come. First of all, he surrendered all his goods. Secondly, everyone received at least one talent. And thirdly, everyone will give an account. A day of reckoning is coming. And it's only fair. And I thank the Lord that He shared that with us so that we know what's expected of us. So all of us prepare for this fact that we will give an account. We can sit in the congregation and allow the rest of the church to walk around with crutches because their toe is stubbed seriously. But a day is coming. But I want to encourage you because I want to show you what verse 21 says. Can you go back really quick to Matthew 25? And I'm hoping that this might be something that you never noticed before, or maybe you noticed it, but no one ever commented, so you dismiss the thought. But now you're going to go, yes, I saw this. Okay, do you have verse 21? Let me read verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. And I looked at all the versions of the Bible. They all say few things, except the Bible in basic English says, you have been true in a small thing. And Revised Standard Version says, you have been faithful over a little. And the 20th century New Testament says, you have been trustworthy with a small sum. And we got to keep in mind what God has asked us to do is trivial compared to what He did for us. And that's why in the parable it says a few things. At first you might think it's an insult, but it wasn't an insult at all. It is comparing us with what Jesus did for us, which should be the motivation to spur us on to participate more fully in the church and its functions. And so there it is, you've been faithful. And by the way, look at what it says in the Bible in basic English, you've been faithful, or you've been true in small things. But listen what it says, I will give you control over great things. Oh God, you're so good to us. And so I encourage you, as we look at the one question we asked, what is the lesson taught in the parable of the talent? Now don't say anything. But in your mind, what did you glean from this? What would you say? And then I'm going to share from Christ Object Lessons 3:26, where it says, the time is to be spent not in idle waiting, but in diligent working. And so we see why He acted so violently towards the man who hid his talents, because he was sitting around idly waiting. Here's three more sentences from the same page of Christ Object Lessons. Christ's followers have been redeemed for service. Did you hear me? That's why you've been redeemed. So we got to get to it. By living to minister for others, man is brought into connection with who? With Christ. Those of you who love Jesus, then know that when you work for Him, you're brought closer to Him. And finally, He gives to every man his work. And that's Christ Object Lessons, page 326. So who can stand at His appearing? Those who are using their talents for Him. Consider, if you would, let's say that 10 years ago you inherited $600,000. You gave it to an investment company so that they would buy you stock in the market when the Dow was at the 3,000 mark. Last Friday you learned the market closed at 10,700. More than tripling your investment. And unfortunately, the top of that is missing. That means $2,140,000 you now have coming. And so he goes down to the investment company to cash out. And to his surprise, they never bought stock for you. They went out in the back and buried your money in a cigar box. How would you feel? Can you imagine why the master threw the unfaithful servant outside into outer darkness? Can you blame him? I do not want to be cast into outer darkness. And so here is an opportunity for you to practice what I preach and sign up to help us for the evangelism that's coming up in April. Father, I thank you for the challenge of the hour. I thank you for making it plain to us. And Lord, don't let anyone in the congregation be fearful, because you will only ask them to do what they are qualified to do. And besides, you'll be with them through the whole ordeal. Thank you, you're that kind of God. Now bless our church to honor you and you alone, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.